Our next guest on Downtown stars as Howard Hamlin on Better Call Saul. You'll also know his work from shows like Code Black, Grey's Anatomy, The Newsroom, or if you're of a certain age, as that dreamy Professor Lasky on Saved by the Bell. We're thrilled to be joined by Patrick Fabian. Patrick, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much. An appropriate introduction, if ever there was one, was drive my car and that.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll talk about Better Call Saul, but I want to first discuss your brand new movie that comes out later this week. Driver X looks terrific. You play a man who loses his business and becomes an Uber driver. And I understand this mirrors the real story of the writer and director of the film.
Absolutely. Henry Burial, who's been a writer-director for about 15 years now, like every artist, you find it sometimes hard to turn a buck. And he found himself middle-aged with a mortgage, a wife, and a kid. And, you know, he wasn't making Marvel superhero films. So he had to turn to driving Uber at night, like a lot of men have had to do, and women. And the stories that poured out of that, driving, you know, Uber at Los Angeles at night, were myriad. And then he decided to make that his next film.
Well, it looks terrific. I absolutely love the trailer, and just watching 2 minutes and 23 seconds of it, and I was annoyed with the millennials in your back seat.
Well, it's very funny. You know, I like to think I'm still eternally youthful, but then I find myself in the supermarket in the milk section at 5 o'clock, because I've got two young girls at home, of course, and they're playing Bon Jovi or Def Leppard, and I'm sort of enjoying that. And I look to my left and my right, and it's a bunch of other guys who are over 40 and 50 enjoying it, and I realize I'd become a middle-aged guy, and my music's on classic rock now, and all of those things start to turn for you. And a lot of the people in the country, you know, the gig economy, as they call it, has not really worked out. Promises that were sort of made or thought of early on in careers have had to stop, and people have had to reinvent themselves halfway through. And I think the film speaks honestly about men and women, marriages, and what it feels like to sort of be adrift in your middle age.
Well, and do you think, and it seems like this might be one of the themes of the film, that technology in its own way is not bringing us together, but maybe creating some sort of cultural divide?
Well, I mean, absolutely. And it's funny, you know, yeah, it's such an intimate experience getting in somebody else's car. And, of course, you know, rideshare is your car, so it's even more intimate. It's not like there's this this taxi or this limousine. It's your car. So when people sort of use it, abuse it, or throw up in it, it becomes a real violation. And what goes on in the back seat in Los Angeles in these days, you know, are young people doing what young people are doing, which is being selfies and all of that. And I have to say, I'm the father of two young girls. They're 6 and they're 8, and I find things falling out of my mouth that I swear came out of my dad's mouth. And that cycle that I'm in now, it's I wanted to pretend that I was the person in the backseat when I was doing the movie. And the reality was I was suited exactly for the guy in the front.
Now, did you do your own driving in the film?
Well, you know, a cheap independent film, and I mean very independent film. We had a Kickstarter campaign, and we, you know, we begged, borrowed, and stole from some other people. We're probably all in for only $100,000, but the film's beautiful. So DP shot it really nicely at night. And because of that, no, I'm not on a trailer. There's no green screens. I drive everything. My workload was basically driving as soon as the sun set, and then we stopped driving as soon as the sun rose, which was interesting, because if your first concern in the scene is to make sure you don't kill the actors, it lends itself to it lends itself to some spontaneity.
Yeah, an additional sense of urgency there, absolutely. And a very atmospheric feel to the trailer of this film, almost a sense of claustrophobia, like you're in that car with you.
Well, it does, you know, and the director, Henry Burial, also wanted to make sure it did not look like reality shows. It did not look like Taxi Cab Confessions, because we all have that sort of experience of watching that, and that's sort of staged and for the camera. He wanted the feeling to be like you were in the car. You were either in the back seat looking at me, or you were beside me watching me watch them. So there is sort of a claustrophobic is right, but I like intimate better, because intimate doesn't have a judgment whether it's a good or a bad thing. And sometimes claustrophobic makes it feel like you want to get out of there. And I think people will like getting in the car with us.
We're talking with Patrick Fabian here on Downtown. You also, I noticed on social media, got yourself in a music video as part of this role.
Well, Lily Hayden, who's been a longtime great go-to violinist in the music world, she's played with the Rolling Stones and U2, had worked with Henry before in his last film. And so she scored some original music for this because she really liked it. And then, because we all have phones and cameras now, we went out and shot a great video all through Venice, California at night. So you can download that at Lily Hayden, H-A-Y-D-N. And it's my first music video, so I feel a bit like David Coverdale is what I do.
I noticed that resemblance right away. All that was missing was Tawny Kitaen. I'd have to talk. Well, let's first of all get the details out. The movie comes out later this week, and it's also available on demand as well, starting on Friday.
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, tonight, Tuesday, if you're saying, hey, I want to go see something, at the IFC Center on 6th Avenue, I'm going to be there. Some of the cast are going to be there. And Eric Bogosian is going to be doing the Q&A for us afterwards. It's a special sneak preview here in New York City. And then it opens in New York and Los Angeles on the 30th, this coming Friday. And like you said, if you just want to stay in your pajamas and grab some popcorn, I am not offended. You can download it on iTunes or Amazon. All information can be found at ifcfilms.com, or you can go to Driver X Movie on any platform.
And one of my favorite actors along with you is in this film, too. Great to see Max Gale in this.
Well, you know what? If you stick around long enough, you sort of get to know everybody. I did a children's karate movie called Underdog Kids, and Max Gale was in it. And what a sweetheart. What a great guy. And, of course, I grew up knowing him as Wojciechowicz from Barney Miller, and so we talked about that. We talked about the journey of being an actor and how you keep it going. And he was real. He was just a good friend, a good guy. So when we were making the film, we were calling people. We have over 50 speaking parts in the film, lots of riders to fill. And I just called up Max. I said, it's not a big part. It's going to be kind of small, but would you be game for it? And he said, absolutely. And that reminded me of a couple of things. One, that actors are generous people by nature. And two, it's great to see somebody who has such a large career behind him willing to say, yeah, I'll do something small for you. And he's going to be at the premiere on Los Angeles on Friday as well. So I will pass along your hellos to him.
That is terrific. All right, Better Call Saul. I've said it many times on this show. It is the best show, the best ensemble on television, great writing, of course, the work of Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould, but man, you guys just nail it every single week.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Real proud to be a part of the show. Real lucky to be working with those people. And, you know, it all stems from good writing. All of it comes from good writing. If you don't have a good script, man, you can work and huff and puff, and you might sell a lot of goods, but you're not going to have what you have there with Saul. And I think that's because the writer's room, headed by Peter Gould, really gets it right. You know, I use those words as a map for my character, and Jennifer Bryan pours me into those beautiful suits that probably get paid more than Howard Hamlin himself, FYI. You know, and then my work is like 90% done. Then they put those cameras on me and shoot those beautiful pictures. So, you know, I've been around for a while, about 27 years as a working stiff, and I've had a really fun career. It's a real treat to, at this stage of my career and this stage of my life, to be working with these people. And, it's a real peak, and it's a real fun ride, and we're not done yet. That's, you know, season 4 just ended. We're going to go back and do season 5. There may even be more after that. I don't know. They don't tell me everything, or anything, rather. So I'm excited to go back to work in Albuquerque this spring and have season 5 come to you next summer sometime.
Well, one of the many things that makes it such a terrific series is it always defies expectations. When we meet Howard Hamlin, we think we know him, but there are no one-dimensional characters in this world, and there are no characters who are either black or white. It's always a shades of gray. And this past season especially, man, things went south for Howard. It's up to you now to save HHM. Can you do it?
I know. How about that? And I tell you what, when I showed up for the first day of season 4 and we were standing outside of Chuck's burned down house, both as a character and an actor, I was like, oh no, my life preserver is not here. Because when you're in a scene with the mighty Michael McKean, you know the scene's going to be good because Michael McKean's in it. So I felt a little abandoned, and I felt a little like, oh boy, what am I going to do? And then also, story-wise, how much did HHM rely on Charles McGill? And I think we found by the end of season 4, things are back on track at least. At least Howard seems to be more back into his finery, you know? He was so disheveled there at the bathroom at one point, his poor tie bar was missing. I just thought that's about as low as a man can get of his stature, right?
Let me ask you, how do you view episode 1 of season 4? Do you think, from your perspective, was Howard there to really ease Jimmy's pain and take the rap?
Well, it's so funny you say that, because a lot of people came at it from the other angle. They said, oh, Howard's just, he's trying to, like, offload his guilt or whatever. And I really took it very dead seriously as that he had thought a lot about this, and he had to unburden himself, but he was not unburdening himself so he could, like, you know, clear his conscience. I mean, once again, I think you can make an argument that that Howard Hamlin has been doing nothing but good for Jimmy. From the very beginning, he's been looking out for him, taking the heat that Chuck was giving him a job up at Coakley and Schweigert, and now coming to say, oh, your brother killed himself, but I'm going to give you a little, I'm going to give you a pass. It wasn't you. It wasn't the insurance thing. It was me. And the fact that the audience, and this is where the writing comes in to be brilliant in my mind, it's only the audience and Jimmy who know what we're talking about when I mention the insurance. So that means when he says that line of, that's your cross to bear, it's only between Jimmy and the audience. Even Kim is on the outside of that. And I think that's great for the fans, right? Everyone's like, oh, wow, that's cold. Because then, I mean, for my money, you know, Saul's speaking right then, without a doubt.
Yeah. And I always think some of the best acting does, not when you're saying your lines, but when you're reacting. And whether it's you or Bob Odenkirk or Ray Seahorn, oh, man, you can just read a lifetime of experience into the reactions and at that moment in that scene, and also in the showdown with Kim.
Oh, unbelievable. You know, there was an article just recently where Bob addressed that. He was talking about what a crime it is that Ray Seahorn hasn't been nominated for anything, let alone won. And I agree. And part of it, I think, is because, you know, we don't have histrionics in the show. You know, the scenes you're talking about are deep and packed with emotion, but it's not a talkie show when it comes to that sort of thing. And the scene where Ray lays in on me finally, that's 4 years in the making, right? That's three and a half years of people watching and rooting for Ray and feeling pent up like she is to finally, you know, unload on me. Whether it's fair or not, that's a different discussion, but it certainly is satisfying. And it left me, Howard, with nothing to say. I was flummoxed. I was beaten down from that. And I think that those moments are earned by the show, and they're also some of the most fun to play.
We're talking with Patrick Fabian here on Downtown. Well, of course, we're all wondering where this goes. We know ultimately what happens as you enter into the Breaking Bad universe, but there are a lot of unanswered questions. Do you, as cast members, learn much ahead of time other than the scenes you're going to shoot?
No, you know, we get scripts a few days beforehand, really. So we don't know what's coming down the pike, and they don't offer it up. And I know well enough not to ask, frankly, because my opinion is not necessary in the writer's room, you know. I think because Kim and I don't show up physically in Breaking Bad, of course, there's lots of speculation as where do we end up. I don't know, and I think it's just good business and good for my, so I can sleep at night, to not care and to just sort of be glad I'm around while I'm around. I mean, here's my two options. My two options are that since we know that Jimmy is now Gene in Omaha at the Cinnabon, maybe I'm managing a Forever 21 in the mall next door. Or this is what I'm pitching to the Travel Network. I hope somebody's listening. Kim Wexler and Howard Hamlin sail around the Caribbean, and they do pro bono work to the poor villagers. So, you know, it's a workout show, it's a sunscreen show, and it's a beautiful travel show as well, with a humanitarian guest. I don't know if we'll call it Kim and Howard Go Bananas, something like that. I'm still spitballing it.
Well, if they don't pick up that option, they're missing out. Now, I understand, Patrick, a little bird tells me that you do a pretty good impression of Jonathan Banks.
Well, talk about somebody who knows how to just let the camera come to them and watch what they're thinking. So I get to meet Jonathan Banks. The first day of Better Call Saul, I meet him. I just binged Breaking Bad, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, they killed Mike. He goes, I know, worst day of my life. And so then we can become friends, and he's really nice. And, okay, I hope he's not listening, actually, because he's really nice. He's a softie. He's sentimental. He loves to laugh. So we get picked up for season three. I think I'm friends with Jonathan. So I called Jonathan, and I'm like, Jonathan, we got picked up for season three, as if we had just made the JV cheerleading team in high school. I'm so excited. Jonathan Banks says to me, Patrick, that's nice. But let me remind you, we know Bobby makes it to Breaking Bad. We know I make it to Breaking Bad. You, Seahorn, Mando, we don't know what happens to you. Save your money.
Oh, man, that is That is great.
He wasn't wrong. I was hoping we were going to high five over the phone. But okay, I get it.
Well, we're just living in this world. We've got Michael McKean coming on with us next week. So if I could just spend every day talking about Better Call Saul, I would be happy with that.
Oh, my gosh. The mighty Michael McKean. I tell you, man, what a great gift that got dumped in my lap to go work with him. It was like going to acting school. So smart, so intelligent, so giving, so focused, and then just fun to work with. The whole package, again, may I be like him when I grow up. You know what I mean?
Well, we enjoy your work so much. Again, it's the best show on television, Better Call Saul, and can't wait to see Driver X that makes its premiere this week. It looks fabulous. Patrick, it's a real treat for us to talk with you. Thanks so much for visiting with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.